Hello there, it's Tina here. It's a glorious sunny day, hardly a cloud in evidence, so a walk is what we really need. It's warm into the bargain, a countryside walk, I think. So, after a spot of lunch, we drive up to the canal to our usual parking spot for an airing. It is a shady roadside space in Addington, rarely busy, but very accessible and convenient. There are 16 stone steps down to the towpath at Bridge 20. Grasping the wooden handrail, we negotiate this narrow set of steps, deciding to turn left. Immediately, we walk under the arched road bridge, heading north in the direction of Marple. Deep horizontal grooves are cut into the vertical support edges of this bridge at about waist height. These have existed for over 100 years, cut by the ropes attached to horses pulling the canal barges along the towpath. They do indeed feature on all the stone uprights of the bridges crossing the Macclesfield Canal. To our right, the water today seems very brown and murky, with scarcely a glimmer of movement. The surface is covered with dust and blossom blown from the trees and shrubs on both banks, plus white fluffy seed heads of dandelions and some fresh green leaves, dislodged by recent winds, I expect. Immediately, we walk alongside a widened canal section, for this is one of the regular turning areas. They allowed even the longest canal boats to about turn. The towpath here is a narrow planked bridge over a concrete overflow regulating that water level. So within a few yards, the gravelly towpath we arrived at was exchanged for sets under the bridge, these wooden planks, and now to compacted earth. Curving slightly right, we settle into our pace. The grassy and wildflower-strewn edges of the canal have obviously been recently cut, and the growth is low and neat, yet it's somehow wild and natural. But the fringe of the towpath away from the water displays verdant growth, including tall stinging nettles, some very tall yellow buttercups, bending thistles, and knee-high grasses in undisciplined splendour. May blossom seems prolific this year on bushes alongside us, providing a scented white blanket clothing the hawthorns. And the greens on the trees and bushes are varied, vivid and fresh, creating a beautiful natural wall near both banks. Yet there are plenty of spots where those brambles, bushes and trees are absent, providing clear views over both farmland and rolling open scenery, especially to the east across the water. One undulating meadow is a sea of yellow buttercups, making a lovely coloured blanket. And here, the hedge is absent at the water's edge, and the green meadow beyond is well populated with Canada geese. Most are strutting about and relatively quiet. As I watch them, a new pair fly in, landing as though on skis skidding on the water. This sets off honking galore. The reason is very clear, as parents then shepherd and herd their fluffy bronze goslings away from the intruders. Peace and calm is quickly restored when those new arrivals stay put, not moving onto the meadow with the youngsters. We now pass a mature hedgerow on the left. Beneath it, and at the edge of the towpath, are a series of concrete structures, each about 3 or 4 feet high and a foot wide. A few inches from the curved top is a hole through which runs barbed wire, fresh barbed wire mostly, and those structures are in a line. They form an edge. This is the edge between the canal property and the farmer's land. These concrete posts have undoubtedly stood the test of time, generally remaining essentially upright, but with signs of erosion in places. The wilderness of the wild verge obscures some of them almost completely. Those covered with rambling ivy appear like magical characters, seemingly to have emerged from their surroundings. There are 20 or 30 of these concrete markers, yet I imagine they once ran all the whole length of the waterway system. A longboat chugs towards us at a leisurely pace. Plants and solar panels decorate the roof. bright coloured pictures adorn the side walls, and crochet, circular, tiny net curtains hang in some windows. A cheery hello greets us from the skipper. Then we encounter a cyclist walking his bike. He looks hot and bothered. As he explains to us, his chain has snapped, so he's needing to scoot and walk back home. And it appears this chain was a replacement for one which had failed only a few days ago. No wonder he is frustrated. Beyond another couple of bridges, we hear a cacophony of baaing. In a meadow, a large flock of growing lambs seem intent on complaining. Have they just been separated from mums, we wonder? We aren't near enough to disturb them, surely. Then the reason for their noise becomes apparent. A small tractor swoops into their meadow and they rush in that direction. No food for them appears, and the two farm workers depart through a gate into an adjoining meadow with much flapping of the animals to keep them at bay. When we return later, the whole flock is missing from their patch, and we can't spot them close by either. A family of ducks dart out from the far bank. Escorted by mum, five small duckling bundles zigzag around at great speed. Dad maintains his distance. At the marina, a large number of boats are parked up. A few show open doors, washing, drying on a contraption attached to the tiller. One occupant wields a paintbrush. Another sits enjoying the sunshine on the adjacent bank. A group perched on seats next to their boat are refreshing themselves from cans in the corner, whilst a dog remains standing tall on lookout, giving us a very quizzical woof. Many cars are parked close to the jetties, so several people must be round and about. Or, noting the empty boat mooring slots at intervals, maybe they're off on their travels. Birdsong accompanies us all the way. The variety reminds me of a dawn chorus, with trills and cheeps, repeated squawks and whistles, rapid-fire chirps, shouts and shrill calls, dancing notes and strident whoops. I wish I could identify some of them. And no matter how hard we gaze in the relevant directions to track those sounds, the birds remain hidden, yet teasing us with their songs and calls. We do, however, see robins at close hand, for they do not seem to be worried by our presence, merely fluttering just out of sight into the leaf cover of the hedgerow, and a few pigeons and jays fly across our path. A Canal Cruising Club boat chugs round the bend, slows down to stop, then two people work to tie it to the mooring rings nearby. Somehow I always think they seem out of place on the canal in their size and shape, but the opportunity to drift from base to a peaceful spot in the countryside in just an hour or so is definitely appealing. A group of hikers with sturdy boots, sleeves rolled up, rucksacks and sun hats stop heartily along the towpath. They are all deeply engaged in conversation, barely noticing us, let alone the scenery. We pass near a caravan park set a little way back from the canal itself. These caravans are permanent structures, but seldom do we see any people nearby, and we assume they are used for holiday escapes. It is certainly a quiet and green venue, no real roads nearby. A lively black dog bounds towards us, the owner is still some distance away. The dog's coat is glistening and wet. He is not really interested in us, but seems keen to find the next spot where he can slither into the water for a refreshing dip. We can see patches of damp towpath over the next 50 yards or so, where he has indeed scrambled out from a dip and shaken himself dry. The accompanying family laugh to us that he is almost taking himself for his walk, or indeed taking them. A few other dog walkers are out with their hounds for afternoon exercise. Other folks, in pairs or families, are enjoying a leg stretch, but it is by no means crowded. Returning to our car an hour later, we comment on how few people are actually out and about on such a lovely day, and indeed how fortunate we are to have this accessible canal-side roaming space so close to home.